This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
My Bookie presents Shake Them Ropes. Use code ROPES, get double your first deposit. Jeff, Chris here. Chris, I'm watching wrestling this week, especially on Wednesday. I'm struck by a tale of two companies. And like, WWE is a military academy. You do everything by the book. You do it our way. You do it the way we want you to do it. If you're having fun or you get some artistic creativity, it's a luxury more than a perk of the job. AEW is that alternative school with, you know, we don't really teach classes. We just,
I went to college at UMass, so the five college areas. So, like, I went to UMass, which is kind of more what NXT is like, whereas this is more like Hampshire College.
You know, create your own major. Yep. Do what you want.
There weren't really grades at Hampshire College. They had bicycles all over the campus named after U.S. presidents.
Really?
Had a lot of good parties over there at Hampshire College.
They have bicycles named after presidents.
And you could just ride them. They're just free. You just pick them up.
Like,
and
do they have
around.
The personality of certain, like William Henry Harrison only like last year, like a couple of miles and then you're done?
I rode James K. Polk drunk one time.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no one's ever said that, ever. I don't think. I don't even think during James Polk's time anybody ever said that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what makes me so good at broadcasting.
Even a better joke if you say James Buchanan, but...
There you go. I see what you're doing there. I did the Vice President's episode about his friend that he lived in the same house with.
Mm. Well, then he had a friend. I think, okay, yeah. Well, maybe Polk is a better joke. Was it Polk that may not have dated? I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, but somewhere in the middle, there's a happy middle. And I wish, like, I'll tell you why I got so annoyed at AEW this week. With the exception of the first match, the Ricky Starks match, and I believe the main event, I think every match and every segment featured a dive to the outside on a bunch of people.
Yeah, and no, it's funny. The way you open things up, I was kind of thinking about how there's a happy medium between the rote way NXT and WWE matches are executed, where they're like, everything is so predictable, and you can feel when they're going into this phase and that phase, and there's just nothing organic. Whereas on AEW, like, I was watching the 10 versus Orange Cassidy match, there's a point where, like, he was doing, like, a long stalling suplex, and I was thinking, you know, that's the kind of stuff that, like, WCW used to do that I'd like, and there's something about, like, that match cadence that I really appreciate. But, yeah, you're right. Dives all over the place. Every match, and every single match, with the exception of the opener and the close, kind of fell into that self-indulgent tendency.
A bit. I think, like, meetings are, hey, what do you want to do? Okay, great. You know, as opposed to, you know, and that's why segments go over time, and that's why, you know, they're rushing finishes from time to time. Yeah, I don't want rigid, strict formula, but I also just don't want, hey, man.
I mean, we've compared it to a jam band in the past.
Yeah.
And, like, the Britt Baker match this week was very foregone conclusion-y. It just kind of felt prolonged.
Get to that in a bit. Let's do a little bit of news here up at the top of the show. Looks like Raymond James Stadium, it would appear WWE's going to sell tickets to WrestleMania for 2021. How many is unknown?
I mean, what might be the buzzkill on this whole plan, Jeff?
Now, this is a rumor.
Selling
this
the
is,
tickets.
This is merely a rumor from inside the ropes, but...
if they don't see a good market for tickets, and I think they might have a real problem trying to fill a venue.
They're not going to fill it. They would do it like partial capacity, because like the University of Miami and the Miami Dolphins can have 13,000 fans at their home games, and AEW is allowed 15% capacity in its stadiums, and LA's not going to be open by then. And that's where it was planned to be this year. So I think they're just going to go, hey, we were supposed to be in Tampa last year. Let's do it this year. And at least some people can come down, and maybe there'll be some boost and there'll be some energy here, because we can't do this empty performance center thing again.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's certainly a quandary. The empty performance center WrestleMania was not a good product. I think there's a lot of presumptions that go into selling tickets for an event in April of 2021 at this point. And a lot of known unknowns and unknown unknowns in terms of things that this company, people who would be traveling to come to this event, and the people of Florida are going to be facing right now. I'm dancing around the word, but the coronavirus is still very much a thing, and who knows where it's going to be 6 months from now. It could be going away. It could be getting worse. It's anyone's guess. Even experts don't really have a kind of an expectation on this. And so, like, it's a hell of a burden to ask a ticket holder to kind of plan and make reservations. And, oh, by the way, if I was going to buy a ticket for this event, I would want to see what the refund policy was going to be rather explicitly before I'd ever buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm. It has been confirmed that in 3 weeks, Vince McMahon and the WWE will take control of all Twitch and Cameo accounts of talent. Andrew Yang has been snooping around again, making noise about WWE becoming members of the Screen Actors Guild.
I think this is a good thing. Politically, Yang and I are semi-simpatico or whatever, but, like, putting that to the side, like, I'm just talking about this from a person who does commentary on wrestling. For a long time, the performers have had a hard time getting to a place where they can get, I think, the protections that they deserve, particularly on the healthcare side. And you can make a lot of money or more money than us and still have working conditions that are substandard, you know, and we've seen countless stories throughout the years here. And it's unfortunate that actors in Hollywood and stuntmen in Hollywood and more figures kind of from California haven't been a bigger and stronger voice on behalf of professional wrestlers. And it's good, in my opinion, that Andrew Yang is coming in and filling a void that I think other members and peers, actors who are kind of sort of wrestlers and wrestlers who are kind of sort of actors. It's good to have someone stepping into that gap.
I am a member of the Screen Actors Guild. I do not make enough money or work enough, and I haven't been out on auditions in a while, to get their health insurance, which I hear is fantastic. I think, to me, there's too many loopholes that they could play with for me to really think. I mean, get them in the union, yes. Get them their insurance, yes. I don't trust Vince. I think Vince will go, okay, find me how to make everybody a day player for scale, and then I'll give them stunt bumps, and then I'll pay everybody $10 a show or something like that. That's my fear. That is my big fear. And like, three people will be taken care of. You know, they'll be the stars, and then everybody will also be listed as co-stars, and then there'll be that all that acrimony of people getting, you know, put in. I went over this 2 years ago now on the Ask Me Anything show, or maybe it was just last year, about why I wasn't sure if SAG would help the WWE, because I think there'd also be mass firings involved as well. I'm willing, I'd love for them to be able to stand up for themselves. I'd love for them to have better leverage on this. I think it's absolute crap that any money they make outside of WWE, or at least through WWE, goes against their downside.
Right? Yeah, this is crazy. This Twitch stuff is crazy. And also on the insurance front too, their situation. I mean, like, insurance is obviously a problem for lots of people all over the country, but like in the case of professional wrestlers, they are very, very hard to insure. And they have a very hard time getting insured. So they need some sort of risk pooling. They need some sort of help on that front. So
they do mostly after wrestling. Because while they're with the WWE takes care of all their medical bills. That doesn't come out of their salary or anything like that. They're not buying insurance. The company will pay for anything that happens to them while they are under contract. It's once they leave that's the problem. At least that's my understanding of it.
Yeah, because I mean, that's still a very consequential problem, yes, because you're in the company, yes, for maybe 10 years and you've got to walk on bad back or bad, mm-hmm, knees for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's also part of the Legends deal. I think they do insure the people on the Legends deals. Don't quote me on that, though. That might just be a little here you go. You know, a little bit of extra money for residuals when you're in the next video game or something like that. But I believe talent that is under contract, any time they get hurt, that's covered by the company.
Yeah, I remember that. There's just like a gray area after you leave the company, and obviously the company has fought in court people who have said that they've had injuries after the fact or whatever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, there's still a big donut hole, if you will, for wrestlers, and it's a large one.
Clash of Champions happened Sunday. COVID wreaking havoc. Read that correctly, Hawkins. In there, Nikki Cross, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax all taken off the card. I didn't necessarily enjoy this card after the ladder match. But the tag match on the pre-show was pretty good, too. That ladder match made me uncomfortable the more I watched it, to be honest with you. Because the age of the performers, and then the ladder in the ear.
the risk.
The handcuff, I mean, through the ear, yeah.
The high level of risk for very low levels of reward. Like, mm-hmm, I won't remember the spectacularness of any of those bumps in that ladder match. I remember it more as like kind of horrific to watch Jeff Hardy go through that much. It had to be real pain. I mean, like, you know, I don't think there's any faking the way those ladders were just like smashing him, or like the way like it just kind of like crumpled on him when they did the one, was a Swanton off the ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hard one
to watch, too. Or the one that when they were leaning the ladder down and they took the tumble over the top rope.
Yes.
And basically crotched himself.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's not fun for me to watch, especially not to someone who, you know, it's one thing to watch a 17 or 18-year-old kid do it. Like, you know, it's stupid, but, you know, usually they just, you know, they bust themselves open and it's a dumb thing that happens to them. But like when someone's like 43 or 44, you know, it hits different, shall we say, as the kids say.
And then everything else that happened, there were rematches this week.
And isn't that a swell thing? And some of the things on the card were rematches.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, play it back. Let them all go up against each other. I guess, you know, the Drew Orton match was creative in some ways, bringing back everybody except Edge that Orton put out. Of course, then we had the payoff to that on Monday with glow in the dark and goggles and night vision.
Right. Yeah. No. So the actual pay-per-view match with Orton and McIntyre, look, obviously in a way it's narratively satisfying to have everyone who Orton injured get their comeuppance on Orton. In another way, it doesn't make Drew McIntyre look the strongest he could possibly look. But then Orton dressed up like he's a member of Devo to close out Raw. Yeah, right. He's in the blue jumper, you know, and he's got the glasses on. I'm just like, are we not men? You know, so
Clarice
yeah.
Starling from the end of Silence of the Lambs.
And then Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, like, I like it. I thought the performances are good. I think the way they are doing this tribal chief stuff, it's just, it's over the top. Like, this could be so much more stripped down and less Samoa-fied, shall we say.
The promo mid-match with Roman and Jimmy.
Yes.
It's a bit much. A bit much. The do you believe in miracles after the dive? Yeah. I mean, it was a good match. I didn't mind it.
There's a lot of good stuff in that match.
Yes. But Jay was never built up to be the threat that he needed to be to me. And then they're going to rerun it next month with the real consequences. Okay, call your shot, Chris. What are the real consequences that'll be in this match?
Oh, well, they said it's going to be the worst consequences ever. And you've got to remember, earlier in this year, we saw a person lose their eye. So I think this is a death match.
I think he's losing his Samoan heritage.
And they're just going to strip him of his heritage?
They're going to kick him out of the tribe.
Oh, he gets kicked out of the family entirely. Yes. Oh. Yes. Oh.
Because remember, Roman said he never would acknowledge me or whatever. And so I'm thinking this is the pride of the tribe type match.
I'll go the other way. I think the consequence is that Jay has to accept the seat at the table. Like, he has to do what Roman says from now.
Your brother is now mine.
Jay has to listen to me now. Okay. Yeah, and like that's how he torments Jimmy next.
I don't like those stories, but yeah.
No, I didn't like that. I mean, I thought the more egregious thing tonight was AJ Styles throwaway.
Oh, God.
That was bad, right? So AJ Styles comes out at the end of tonight's little skitlet between Jay and Roman. Which, again, hammy, a little over the top, a little too Lion King for me. Just a lot of stuff going on there. Just heavy-handed. AJ comes out, and he talks about chicken bones. What else did he say? What was the other thing that he said?
I'll pull it up here. Hold on a second.
Sacrifice a goat.
Goat, yeah.
Sacrifice a goat. Really just kind of like leaning into the, you know, savages sort of thing here. Completely gratuitous. He won't get a talking to, but like he should get a talking to for that. That was a very, very bad call at minimum.
Yeah. And especially it being AJ Styles.
The
Southern thing.
His issues with some other talents backstage, too.
His former issues, I believe he's had a homophobic statement in there somewhere, too. But it is wrestling, so I don't know. I mean, my radar is so off on this that I just view that as, oh, come on. But I could see people being real pissed about it.
Yes, I would be very interested to know if it was off the cuff or if this was like a scripted thing. Yeah, no, but it was a bad call. It should not have made TV.
So Robert Roode is back, so I don't think he'll be the guy, the mystery person for NXT TakeOver. Could be. They could have just introduced him to then introduce him back down there. That's a very strong possibility.
No, it's a classic WWE 2019-2020 move.
Yeah. Anything else on the main? Oh, the Matt Riddle promo. So bad.
It's so weird to see him on TV now. Like,
well, here's the other weird thing, is that this Lucha House Party, that the breakup story, didn't factor into that tag match on the pre-show at all, and now they're back to it again. this next week. It's another one of those things where they don't keep the stories going.
And I just, like, I don't really... I get that Kalisto's the guy who's separating from the other two guys, but, like, I've really lost the thread as to, like, who's really the good guy and who's the bad guy at this point. Like, it's... Kalisto's got a big head, but I don't... If you asked me, like, what's really been, like, the precipitating events, I can't come up with them.
Yeah. Raw was last minute written again, so, and it looked like it, and it felt like it, and it just, I mean, I guess Raw Underground is no more?
No, it's not no more. It will be back, but I think that and the Retribution absence connects back to the extracurricular activities and suboptimal choices made by some. So in addition to that, yeah, you also didn't have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, as you mentioned earlier. Too.
Yeah, next week is the draft, and the annual draft, although everybody seems to be on another show despite whenever they want.
The draft is so pointless. I mean,
I won't say that. The draft is for the three stars that are drafted to the other shows, and this year it's going to be probably Sasha or Bayley, probably... either the Uso or Roman, and then someone.
someone that, on the Raw that could be the stipulation. When's the draft?
Next week.
Oh, okay. So that's not the stipulation. I was gonna say.
Well, no, you can have the stipulation, and then what'll happen is the stipulation will be for the match 3 weeks later, and so they'll build it on both shows.
Okay, sure.
Because they've done that before too. Yeah, it's just so-and-so is now this on this show, even though the draft's in 3 days. These are the types of continuity things that drive someone like me who wants logic and order nuts.
Yes, and it's shaking things up for the sake of shaking things up without necessarily knowing.
It's not shaking those ropes. No, it's shaking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of just want to do a short show this week. I'm in such a poor mood due to personal choices I made.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else on Raw that's worth talking about. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are now a tag team.
Yes, that makes no yeah.
Though they okay. look similar, Jeff, you see. and then R-Truth defeated Drew Gulak. Who cares? I don't want to talk about
Akira
that.
Akira Tozawa's still alive?
Yeah. Yes. They're very amused with themselves that they might have killed Akira Tozawa last week in ribbing that. No Cedric Alexander, also absent in this show.
True.
Murphy defeats Dominic Mysterio because we've now needed to turn that into a deeply, stupidly complicated, like, love angle triangle thing. Like, it's the worst. And then, Robert Roode is a guy who has long matches still, and they are long.
They're long. He's very good, but he doesn't matter. I loved that Bobby Roode and, Robert Roode and Chad Gable team. I did.
I thought they were so much fun, dude. He can be very good, especially in tag teams, because what Robert Roode is really good at, especially at this stage of his career, is interpersonal dynamic stuff in the ring. He really shines in a tag team because of that. But do I have nothing else to say about this Raw. It was long, it felt hollow, and it ended with Randy Orton looking like a member of Devo.
Yeah. And then AEW, the matches were fun, but... it was like, here's a dive, here's another dive, here's another dive. Okay.
Yeah, Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks was really
loved
fun.
It. That
yeah.
was my favorite match of the night. And
yeah,
then
that was
after
really
that,
fun.
Yeah, I mean, I liked SCU's promo. I kind of said after watching that, whatever the FTR, Tony Schiavone, Matt Hardy thing or Matt Jackson thing was, or is it Nick Jackson? I'm sorry. I didn't care for that. And then, it's too late for JR to call that heinous. He didn't sell that as well as he could have, but SCU cut a good pro wrestling promo. we're gonna go to this match. We want to do the thing. Right. I loved that.
We guarantee it. We're gonna do it. I'll say I like the FTR match. I thought that was fun.
I want Tully to act a little bit more managerial, like on two counts. You know, kind of go, oh my god, that was so close. Those types of things. Because right now he's just kind of positioning himself for each spot, and I understand, you know, his age and things limits what he can do exactly, but I want a little more Heyman J.J. Dillon from Tully versus kind of just waiting for the spot Tully.
And I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Kazarian has been having a really sneaky good 2020. Time and again, he is in matches and involved in matches, not even as the featured piece, but he always is just... He's really solid. I've been really impressed with his work this year. Chris Jericho versus Isaiah Cassidy. I think that Jericho's back elbow Judas effect thing looks like crap. And like, this is like one of the worst looking ones yet.
I watched that, and I know I'm pretty sure I haven't listened to any other podcasts about it, but they were trying to get that Shelton Benjamin super kick HBK thing.
Yes.
With that. And here's my question, because we've brought up this question before. Does that help Isaiah Cassidy? Did the super kick help Shelton Benjamin in any way?
Right.
No.
And that was a spectacular, I guess you could say it helped Shelton Benjamin in the sense that it solidified him as a good hand.
It made him gif-able forever, you know?
Right, yeah, right. But that spot was really rough looking, and I think it then speaks to another problem with Jericho and why his attempt to help young talent results in like what I was dubbing the Sisyphus push in the last episode. It's like, when you get hit with a back elbow and you go down, crumple like a deck of cards after you've been taking like Emerald Flosions and stuff throughout matches and other matches in AEW because they work so, you know, dives and topes and all that stuff out on the outside, but Jericho can level you with one back elbow. How much build can you get off of that? I mean, getting laid out by Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music, I mean, there was something big about the quality-wise about that move, that, like, you know, spinning back elbow from Jericho, especially when he's not crisp on it, is just always going to lack.
I never thought I'd be tired of Chris Jericho, but I'm starting to get weary. And this 30th anniversary of him wrestling thing that they're doing, I'm good with it. We're going to get, I think it looks like it's going to be Hager and Jericho versus Dr. Luther and David Arquette.
Okay. All right.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm fine with the celebration. I liked the thing with him and MJF. I get what they're doing. I guess they may turn Sammy out of it all and then, you know, bring somebody else into the inner circle.
That might be like an MJF take Sammy's space.
That'd be interesting, but then, I think MJF's too big to be a second banana.
Well, I mean, the other thing is I think maybe eventually MJF kicks Jericho out. So first they turn Sammy, then they turn on Jericho, and then you still have Hager and Wardlow and there's a number of different ways you can go about this, but like, it doesn't seem like MJF and Jericho are going to become best friends.
Final question for AEW. Are we getting the Dark Cody story?
I'm confused by that story. It does sort of feel...
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, And sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs. And it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or, wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Like, he's falsely reconstructed himself, right? Like, this felt like a veneer thing, like a swerve ski.
I loathed that promo. It started out okay, and then it just became a little bit too...
he's got a formula to the way he does things where it's like there's the comic book modality, then there's the be a little bit like Dusty modality. There's a few notes to the Cody Rhodes promo that I've become very aware of, and he shifts gears hard each time, and it feels a little bit forced. I wanted to note this. A lot of people aren't familiar with Billy Mitchell, but if this is the guy from the Miro. Yes. Yeah, from Miro and Kip Sabian are doing their thingy, which is also not lighting my world on fire here. And it ended with Billy Mitchell appearing. Excalibur calls him world record holder Billy Mitchell, which is not exactly right. There is a movie called The King of Kong, and it gets into how Billy Mitchell got his records in Donkey Kong, and that's kind of his big claim to fame here. And he had one at one point, and he was indeed a world record holder in it. And then someone displaced him, and then Mitchell tried to reclaim the throne, and The King of Kong details Mitchell's attempt to reclaim the throne, shall we say. He's a quintessential wrestling heel. The King of Kong is, as a wrestling fan, I think you'll enjoy the movie a lot.
I saw it a while ago.
I'm wrecking it for the audience too.
I know.
Yeah. But no, like, he's a quintessential heel, and he's booked very well like that, but it was very weird as someone who's aware of him. One, I think he's a natural fit on a wrestling show. Two, like,
are you saying he's a con man?
He's a toll grifter. Toll sleaze. But like, you saw how he's dressed. He dresses like that all the time. He dresses like Jim Cornette every day.
Yeah, I remember when King of Kong came out, and everybody was like, oh, this is such a great underdog story. And it's my favorite documentary I've ever seen. And then you started learning the seedy details behind it, and you didn't feel so good about it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I as I said, the thing I enjoyed most about that movie was not the underdog story, but the heel build of Billy Mitchell. So he's a good heel. It's just weird to see him elevated as a world record holder, because it's kind of like, it's like a big asterisk. I'm running to like Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire or something like that. It's like, yeah, he hit home runs. Yes.
But
yeah, right. You know, other than
on
the
uptick, we're talking about he cheated. Yeah. Before we go on, let's give a shout out to our sponsor this week. It's playoffs. My bookie, it means only one thing: winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more at my bookie. Winning season is all about your chance to win big. Bet the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC, and then some. The craziest sports summer of your lifetime is here. Although it's not summer, it's the fall. Let's just say
summer can be as long as you want it to be.
It's
this
the everlasting.
Year.
Look, it's still triple digits out here in LA. Where the Lakers are in the playoffs. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of future bets, or you can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to good use. Enter promo code ROPES and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. At this rate, you'd probably bet on whether either of the candidates for president make it to Election Day.
you can bet on the next debates and whether they're going to happen or not.
Yeah, that too. I think that's a prop bet, actually.
Yeah, no, I mean, that,
you know what was a prop bet? I looked on my bookie, and okay. it was whether or not Joe Biden came to the podium wearing a mask.
Oh,
and it was
all right,
plus all right. 250, and I almost put a wager on that one because I thought he would.
Might have been a power move.
Might have been a power move, but sign up now to bet with the best, which isn't me, after this week in the stock market, and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Once again, that code is ROPES and double your first deposit. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring us and other shows across the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Oh, Chris, we have NXT and NXT and NXT TakeOver Preview. Where to begin? Let's get UK out of the way.
Yes, yeah, UK's pretty quick.
my one crack was that opening triple threat match to get into the tournament is the biggest who cares ever in the history of NXT UK.
I got to push back on this, Jeff. I've never seen three men I could more accurately describe as wild cards.
Just Amir Jordan, Kenny Williams, and the Whoop guy. And I get it, but who thinks they're going to... Are they going to do... They make a run in the tournament? Like, they'll beat Noam Dar, you know, and nobody's going to care?
Yeah, no, I think the way this plays out is first round guy is going to lose to wild card guy, and that's Noam Dar. No, I thought that was Trent Seven.
Oh, here we go. I got something for you. Pete Dunne challenges... It was Williams who won. So Pete Dunne challenges Williams for the spot in the tournament so he can go after Walter.
My favorite thing about this match was that they really didn't hit home the tension between Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams. Like, they sort of brought it up, but like nothing developed during the course of this match. And it very well should have, because Amir Jordan tried to insert himself into this match. Also, narratively, you sort of would have expected Amir Jordan to win this match because he inserted himself into this match, thus being the catalyst for Kenny Williams' resentment. But now I'm very confused what the hell they're doing with the Kenny Williams-Amir Jordan storyline.
Chris, the mystery, another WWE mystery. Who attacked? Who attacked? I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Who attacked?
His name is Flash Morgan Webster.
Flash Morgan Webster. Jeff, I'm losing my mind this week. I just haven't gotten enough sleep. Who attacked him, Chris? Because,
it's hard to say. Look, here's the thing. Sid Scala is a guy with shifty eyes.
Yes.
You can't trust his hair. He kind of looks like that dude, the reporter of the week, who does the reviews on the fast food. I don't trust that guy any farther than I can throw him. So it's probably him.
I mean, could it have been Dave Mastiff?
He was walking
down the hall, and he then came and watched him.
And he's got a bit of an attitude. It's true.
Or just maybe after having a bit of a blow up with them in the hallway last week, and then watching them in suits come by the carnage. Could have been the Hunt who attacked Flash Morgan Webster.
It's so weird, too, that the idea of how we're going to stylize them for their heel turn is to put them in suits. We're now the Hunt, but we're the Safari.
Well, you know,
now.
Some people put their pets in sweaters and stuff like that. We can put a primate in a suit.
So like they're more like the Dog Show at this point.
He's a primate of wealth and taste. He's a billionaire primate with a monocle and top hat.
What did Miguel Gorilla do for a job? Like, where would you put him in terms of class
status? He helped
Mr.
Peebles. He helped Mr. Peebles at the pet store, didn't he?
Okay. What do you think Mr. Peebles paid? How's Peebles doing? What do you think is
minimum wage? I think he probably went on strike for 15. Andrew Yang came in and said, "You know what? You animated animals."
Peebles has been holding out. I mean, this is a guy.
You think he had health care? You think Miguel Gorilla had health care?
I don't think Peebles.
Peebles was a cheap bastard.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a cheap ass bastard, and his pet store, and we don't need you.
That's what I'm saying. Miguel Gorilla never really had a chance of moving up in the world.
And then do I want to go through this match by match? No. Zaya Brookside and Ginny. Why are you feeding Zaya Brookside, who should be sweetness and light and the baby face of NXT UK now that Tony Storm's not around?
This is the weird thing to me. So you do this big... Okay, I get building up Ginny because Ginny is going to go after Kaylee Ray. We've already set that up. But feeding Zaya Brookside to Ginny at this point makes no sense. If anything, you want to keep Zaya Brookside out of this because ideally, if you're going to get the belt off of Kaylee Ray and put it on Ginny or something like that, Zaya Brookside, I was going to call her Zaya Lee myself, Zaya Brookside would be the kind of target storyline here to overcome Ginny at some point.
I'm so mad at this match because
it's silly.
Because it turned around on Zaya Brookside being petulant. She had the leg, and then Ginny grabs the ropes, and she has a temper tantrum when the referee tells her to break it.
I mean, this match also just was not worked super well. There was a miscommunication when they went for the monkey flip and they did the WWE thing. And this is, you know, we're talking about that happy medium between the looseness of AEW matches and the tightness of WWE matches. They missed the monkey flip the first time and then they went back to the spot a second time.
Yeah. And I don't have anything for NXT UK. I think the look that Pete Dunne gave Ilya Dragunov seems to me that they're going to do Stone Cold Pete Dunne in NXT UK, I think.
Yeah, this was fine. This new format, I think, is good. I think it's a nice way of showcasing off a different style of wrestling.
Did they mess it up because after the pin, they said there was more time in the round, but they just went on to the round? Or is the round supposed to end?
That's a thing that I'm not entirely clear on. Like that, mm-hmm. that was kind of the second part of my comments. There's still some degree of ambiguity to me in terms of the rules and how these matches are supposed to be flowing. So it was a little tricky for me to find what I'm looking for. I'm not saying don't keep doing this. Challenge me as a viewer and teach me new things, but I still need to learn what I'm watching.
Right. NXT was a night of just bad promos, I thought. I loved that first Kyle O'Reilly video.
Yeah, no, I thought the Kyle O'Reilly stuff was cool.
What they call it, Prime Target. It's like you're now labeling these videos. Has there been a Prime Target video before? Did I miss one?
No. Oh, you know what else? Speaking of actual good videos, I thought the Eddie Dennis video was good, but I have zero confidence in them to deliver on Eddie Dennis.
Man, I missed it.
No. Oh, dude. I know it's like a total throwaway, but this is a strikingly well-produced, like 60-second little package thing. It's like really good. No, okay. It was really, really well done. But yeah, no, it was good. It was just worth noting.
I'll take your word for it. I'll go back and watch that. Yeah, I mean, for the actual NXT show before we, I mean, the first Kyle O'Reilly video was great, and then the sit down with HBK and Finn Balor confused me because they made him seem like such a likable guy on the first video, and then the next video he kept going in between being babyface and heel.
And so did Finn. Yeah, it was. I this is the WWE alpha male syndrome thing. And watching it play out, I think, is always jarring, especially when they don't really commit on who's the babyface and who's the heel.
Yeah, we had a lot of mixed messages on that because we had Adam Cole and Austin Theory. And we had a lot of Adam Cole saying how much faith he had in Kyle O'Reilly to win.
Yes.
Which always feels like a turn syndrome.
But then it was also weird because there was no Bobby Fish on the show this week. And, like, I don't even know how to account for that.
Yeah. Can we stop doing back suplexes on the ring apron, please? Shotzi Blackheart and Dakota Kai.
Oh God, that bump was really nasty. Yes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that thing. I just cringed.
Yeah.
And then Ridge Holland and Cameron Grimes. I love Cameron Grimes, but boy, he's Honky Tonk Man 2020.
Yes. Yeah, no, they found this character and they've told them to lean into it ever more and ever more and ever more. And like this character would work so well if it was done way more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
If he was cocky and arrogant, but like still mindful and also able to switch into a more cruel and methodical and like whatever, but like. Yeah, no, it's
The Seth Rollins laugh.
Yeah, he does.
That's what I missed on our main roster recap, dude. It's 2020. We have Jerry Lawler involved in an angle involving a 30-something superstar messaging a teenager. What?
Oh, it's so weird. And she's going, "I'm 19. It's fine." And no one's challenging Murphy on this for the thing that he should be challenged on.
Murphy comes off creepy. Jerry Lawler's always been a bit of a creep and liked him young.
And Rollins, of course, comes off creepy because he's trying to introduce this dynamic and promote it.
Yeah. And then of course, getting Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, no, but not just Romeo and Juliet. Like, imagine William Shakespeare, but performed by the Mysterio family, who are some of the greatest actors that we've ever seen in professional wrestling. I mean, yes, obviously, Rey's a Lucha Libre legend. He's a real innovator of offense in the ring. But on the microphone, he's truly something else. Not great is what he is on the microphone.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
You are my daughter, and you are just 19. You do not know the ways of our world. Stop it, Dad. I am old enough now to make my own decisions. I have feelings, and I want to feel them.
Oh,
I'm
Murphy.
Doing this for you. I have to go out there and fight Murphy now as your brother who I am because of you. You don't understand.
Oh, Murphy, Murphy, wherefore art thou my Murphy? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Oh, if thou wilt not be but sworn, my love, and I'll no longer be a Mysterio.
To Murph or not to Murph. That is the question. Whether it is noble or to follow the Monday Night Messiah and remove eyeballs from various talent on the roster, or to follow my heart, what shall
alas,
I do?
Alas, poor Ricochet. I knew him well. A man of infinite stupidity and aerial moves.
Him and Apollo Crews really are the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of this horrible abomination of a Shakespeare play that we have here.
Well, I'm supposed to take this letter to somebody? Okay.
Take it to the Hurt Business? All right.
Hey, guys, here's a letter. Now I want nothing more than this.
The Mysterio acting stuff is some of my favorite stuff every week. Like, I mean, it's not good, but like, it's so bad, it's good.
Oh god,
it's like The Room.
Yeah, we have the McMahons doing Macbeth story.
They've done
Stephanie,
that.
Stephanie comes out, unsex me here, and oh yeah, they kind of have just yeah. Poorly.
Yeah, no, they've done that, but poorly. And they've also done, like, horrible versions of Game of Thrones, too, along the way here.
Oh, yeah. Team Apothecary and Romeo and Juliet, by the way.
Yeah, other things on NXT that we need to hit here? Xia Li slowly turning heel.
It's not even slowly. She did it last week. They just haven't gotten to it yet. They think they're doing it slow.
Right. Yeah. Because it's like, I mean, the way they're doing it makes Carter and Kat Nazzaro seem like they really have no idea what's about to hit them, which makes them
right.
Really stupid. Mm-hmm. And then Candice and Johnny defeat Damian Priest and Io Shirai.
God, I hated this promo. By Damian Priest.
Oh God, those two look like
I'm gonna go
losers.
Live in infamy. Or
you're like, pretty what? Cool, EO. And then EO cuts a very long promo in Japanese, and she goes, "He is all right." And I'm just like, I hate this. You guys suck.
He's okie dokie.
Yeah, like no.
It's like every bad 80s movie featuring a Japanese person.
Yes. No,
you know, like
no.
Like Gung Ho.
Well, yeah, and Priest is like, yeah, like the rocker dude guy, like from Breakfast Club.
Yeah. He's John Bender from Breakfast Club. All the NXT kids in detention. And he's just... Oh, okay, well, let's go over this takeover and get out of here. We went long last week. We'll go short this week.
Anything to say on SmackDown here?
I thought we did everything on SmackDown. That needed to
be Otis defeats John Morrison. We got Otis.
Oh, we're getting Bayley and Sasha next week.
Right.
What?
She's still in a damn neck brace. It's so weird.
Well, no, she took it off to be brave.
No, okay.
And, you know, she couldn't even get the neck brace off, which would have hurt her neck while she was trying to take it off. I love Sasha, but man, that promo did nothing for me. This screams that either Sasha wins and Bayley gets drafted to Raw, or
they're just finishing this off next week.
They can't do this match. They have to separate them somehow, right? Or are they gonna do Hell in a Cell with these two and then go their separate ways?
That might be it. I mean, this yet again, it's the weird thing about the draft is it's just this weird knee-jerk reaction to football being on TV.
And all it's that and new toy syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
We need to shake things up because these guys got lazy.
That's not really the problem here.
No, it's not. But there is one last thing on NXT to bring up, but we will do that in the course of our preview of NXT TakeOver 31.
Okay.
This Sunday from, I believe, the Performance Center. I do not believe they will be in the Thunderdome again. 5 matches, all singles matches, so they may add something. Santos Escobar versus Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Oh, what a fantastic build this was to this match.
What a garbage face-to-face this was.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. Like
I beat you once. I can do it again. You think you can come up here and do it? You know, it's
I've seen better promos in Street Fighter.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Singles match for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Who do you have here?
I've got Santos Escobar retaining.
Yeah, I believe that faction is strong still, and they will eventually help. They couldn't even call it a loaded mask. They a mask that has been upgraded or something
like
that.
Enhanced, yeah.
Enhanced, an enhanced mask. That's what it was. Oh, yeah. In the take a shower after you finish watching this match, Kushida takes on Velveteen Dream. Fourth time they've tried to reboot Kushida with that same video package.
I know, but then it's all been about Kushida's new attitude here, and it hasn't really been about Velveteen Dream. I'm going to say Kushida wins.
Everything points to Kushida winning. It's why I'm going with Velveteen Dream.
No, I definitely understand. I understand the pull. But something about him being fourth, like, or at the open of the card here, or near the open of the card here and not at the top of the card here anymore. And the fact that a lot of focus has been on Kushida, and it's like, how many times can you rebuild them? I just got to go Kushida. I got to go Kushida.
Io Shirai against Candice LeRae for the NXT Women's Championship.
So I think the story of the night here is Candice and Johnny get crowned. And so I do think. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I went with standard WWE booking, which is because Candice and Johnny were standing strong at the end of the night, they lose.
Maybe just one of them gets it. Maybe they get, but I think the Gargano family comes home with one title out of this takeover.
If they do, so it's this one.
It's going to be Io.
And I think Io Shirai gets moved up. How about that?
That makes
and then you can
sense.
Have, and then you can have Candice lose to Rhea Ripley.
I could see that. I mean, Damian Priest in that North American title seems more tenuous than I think we're maybe giving it credit. He seems like a strong champion, but they're not super committed to this guy.
He's also tall, and Vince may like him.
Yep. I'm just saying, because obviously I don't think Finn Balor is going to lose to Kyle O'Reilly, although I am very here for Kyle O'Reilly as NXT champion at some point.
All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, so Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae, you have?
I have Candice winning.
I have Candice winning as well. Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano.
I got Johnny winning.
Okay, I have Damian Priest retaining. And that'll add some friction in there. Although Gargano, she broke our television, so her leg deserves to be. I'm like, that's such a great heel line. I love him as a heel, but he's just so miscast here.
Yeah. There's a good heel character in that couple. It's they've it's weird. It's still not clicking for me. And I finally, understand it, but yeah.
Finn Balor taking on Kyle O'Reilly. You've already said you could see Finn Balor winning this. I think Finn Balor wins this as well. Does the schism in the Undisputed Era happen, or do they just hint at it?
I think they just hint at it. It'll be interesting to see if Adam is the good guy here for real skis, and it's like Roddy who's the bad guy. Maybe Bobby Fish has been off camera for a while because we want to set up a big return of him in a kind of nefarious way. Him betraying Kyle O'Reilly would be, you know, poignant to say the least.
I get the feeling we're going to have one of those WWE style things where Roddy or Bobby Fish come down to try and help Kyle O'Reilly win the title, and they accidentally hit him, and then it becomes a full on turn because accidents just can't happen. There has to be something behind it. So I think Bobby Fish probably ends up nailing Kyle O'Reilly accidentally instead of Balor and costs him the title at the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. Be interesting, Bobby Fish threw in the towel for Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle O'Reilly was not going to give up. Like, he screws over Kyle that way.
And then he's no longer part of the tribe?
Kind of like Bob Backlund style. Singing Arnold Scaland.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was going way back. You like that?
Yeah, I did. Anything else in wrestling you want to mention?
I don't think so.
Anything COVID related you want to mention? Because
wear a mask, people. Be safe. This is a serious disease, and just make smart decisions. And just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there.
And the two big factors in the stock market are greed and fear. Do not succumb to either of them. I had a really, really bad week. You can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow Chris at ChrisNovembrino. You can follow the show at ShakeThemRopes. Chris, politics has just been screwed up this week.
Yeah, so there's going to be another Don't Worry About the Government out here when the time makes sense. I'm obviously following everything that's going on right now, but there's no prize for being first, as I like to say, although people sometimes act to the contrary in what I do over there. But we do have a review of the first presidential debate for those of you interested in that. Just taped a couple of days ago, nicely edited with little clips and everything. Very proud of it. Great episode. Arya Cohen-Wade from bloggingheads.tv came on, so check that out over at don'tworry.tv on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Spotify.
Once again, we'd like to thank MyBookie for sponsoring us. Use code ROPES, double your first deposit. And next week, Chris, our draft post-mortem.
I can't wait because, you know, the USA guys, they were so pumped last time when they got, who was it? Natalia?
And here's Rob McCarron with his preview.